Let's talk extremities. Lisa R. Smith. Could I introduce you right now to Lisa Smith? She leads what she calls a very ordinary life. Here's a glimpse. In the past 4 months, she ran 150 miles across the Sahara Desert in temperatures of up to 130 degrees. She was stung by a scorpion along the way, but kept going and staggered across the finish line with a fever of 103. She slogged 400 miles through the Montana wilderness on a week-long adventure race, which included whitewater kayaking, snowshoeing on glaciers, riding 100 miles on a mountain bike. She raced 50 miles along the spine of Long Island in 6 hours 43 minutes in a super marathon, where she won and set a course record. Now she says it's time for something really difficult. Death Valley's calling. Death Valley's calling. For athletes like Smith, part of a tiny band of little-known super endurance runners who stake their claims on the frontiers of human physical possibility, the Death Valley Ultra Marathon, called Bad Water, is the evil dark star and siren song temptress of a sport that most people barely even know about, let alone fantasize about. The race, which will begin on Thursday, starts at the lowest point in the continental U.S., 282 feet below sea level. In high summer, the time of year that gives Death Valley towns like Furnace Creek their names and reputations, it is unbearable. And now, athletes are going to run in it, and apparently try and die. This baby stretches across the desert for 135 miles, climbing more than 8,600 vertical feet to the base of Mount Whitney, whose peak is the highest point in the lower 48. For an added treat, 40 to 50 mile an hour headwinds are not uncommon. The course literature says runners should be prepared for 100 degree variations in temperature, from 130 or more Fahrenheit down to freezing or below at the end. It's the hardest race in the world, says Smith. Something about this race just gives you a power that you have to find somewhere deep within yourself. Once you've done it, nothing ever seems difficult again. Nothing seems difficult again, huh? With all due respect, you don't know difficult, lady. This is nothing. Nothing. You know what extreme is, Ms. Smith? I'll tell you extreme. Extreme is me and a few buddies. When we routinely gather together and throw our bodies off the Ford Bridge wearing 70-pound packs, having just downed a keg of Summit beer. We have our hands and our legs tied, but we do our best to swim to shore using only our facial muscles. Whereupon a large group of homeless people wielding 2x4s beat us senseless, taking our wallets. We then crawl, bleeding like sieves, to the top of the bank and cross Mississippi River Boulevard right in front of a speeding minivan, tearing through the windshield into the car's interior, landing in the back near the soccer balls, cut up head to toe. The woman driving grabs a 9mm Glock from the glove compartment and tells us in no uncertain terms that we're about to meet our maker. The door flies open and she makes a turn, sending us skipping back out onto the road, where cops are waiting to throw us into detox on account of the .37 blood alcohol content. We do 8 straight days fending off lice, dysentery, and a Mexican guy named Carlos who never met a fella he didn't want to assault. We're released on the 9th day only to learn our wives have left us, the bank is foreclosed on our property, and that tumor on our spine, well, it's malignant after all. So don't talk to me about extreme sports, lady. You ain't tried extreme sport until you've hung with my buddies and I. You got that? All this braggadocio, someone's got a collar on it. I've done that, and 10 times worse than that, as a minor. Super distance running is predicated on the notion that just about everything in life, including the plain 26.2-mile regular marathon, is just too darn easy. That's what Ms. Smith says. Super distance running, predicated on the notion that everything in life, including the plain old 26.2-mile marathon, just a little too easy. Okay, Ms. Smith. The old 26-mile race wasn't enough. Things had to be made a little harder, so they added the Sahara and scorpions and fever, snowshoeing on glaciers and running against 50-mile-per-hour headwinds. And now you think you people have had it hard, huh? You ain't had it hard yet. You want to test the old body, the mind, the will, the soul? You haven't done it yet. Make it 4 years in a concentration camp, huh? Endure the Bataan Death March. Survive Nanking 1937. Spend 6 years locked in the Hanoi Hilton. Feel the machetes of renegades in Algeria, Uganda. Have the Chinese give you the electric cattle prod treatment. No matter how hard you try to manufacture hard times for yourselves, folks, there will always be those dealing with the real thing. And they can't start and stop when they want to. They're not volunteers. And they don't get a pat on the back if they make it through the day. They just get placed back in their cell to face a bowl of gruel and a bucket for a toilet. I got bad news for you, you extreme athletes. Your life is still too easy. You got that? It's still too easy. It's still a piece of cake, and you haven't impressed me one iota, because you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't enjoy it. So it's just one more fancy hobby designed to give your life a few thrills, isn't it? That ain't extreme. That's easy street. That's being pampered. And you must be pampered if you have the time and the money to indulge yourself like this while the rest of America is out working for a living, huh? For Smith, the Badwater race is about magic and the forces of the world that come alive after so many hours pushing and prodding at the limits of mind and body. Nearly everyone hallucinates. One runner last year swore he had run across the Golden Gate Bridge at one point and recalled every detail. Smith saw goats fly overhead last year. She heard Indian chants and babies crying. You know you have arrived at Badwater's heart, she says, when the visions start. It's the most incredibly spiritual place, she says. It makes you want to live in the moment, experience the moment, live with it, take it, suck it all in. That's right. That's right, she says. Gobble it up. I hear you, Ms. Smith. Gobble it up. Jam it in your gills and swish it around, slamming it hard against your gums and cramming it between your teeth. Gargle with life. Gargle with it, doggone it. Chomp on it, bite it hard, and grind it to dust. Throwing it back with a swig of pure adrenaline and digesting it with guts of raw steel. Live! Live! But don't just live! See goats fly! See San Francisco in the middle of a desert! Hear babies where there aren't any! Run so fast, work so hard, push it so much that you actually find yourself walking past the Golden Gate right to the Pearly Gates, meeting God face to face! And that, of course, is the ultimate extreme available to each and every one of us, isn't it? Death. What these runners and endurance athletes are really saying is they want the ultimate. And truth be told, the ultimate is death. That's the end. Doesn't get more extreme than that. And they don't know death yet. And that's got to just eat away at them. And of course, eventually, they'll have to make a go at it. They'll have to eventually give death a shot. They yearn for it. They need it. The final frontier, you know. Meanwhile, many a mid-American soul still finds happiness in the extreme act of simply breathing. Getting up in the morning, looking at the prairie, and just smiling at life. Because the fact is, life is extreme, you yahoos. The very fact that your body is a working mechanism, giving you morning after morning after morning of a functioning system capable of experiencing five senses, that's extreme. Existence is extreme, you bunch of jackasses. How do you think yogis and Tibetan monks and Hindu religious leaders spend their time sitting and meditating for hours every day? They're getting off on existence itself without even moving. And that's extreme. So to each his own, I say.